Amen. You give them a hand. They work very hard. It's hard enough just to get here on Wednesday night, but they make effort to be here early, to give of their time, and having to practice with me today, I can tell you that takes a lot of patience to have to deal with me and trying to pull back, let's just say, older music. I was going to say archaic, but that's not really a good word. It's just older music. And I'm going to hopefully be able to do a lot more of that. I enjoy that on Wednesday nights, and hopefully I'll get a chance to do a lot more of that Southern gospel that I enjoy. And tonight, as you turn in your Bibles, let's go to Psalms 23. It'll be the first scripture I get to. We are halfway through a two-part series or a two-part sermon that I wanted to bring to you, because so many times people are asking me the question, well, I want to know what God's will is for my life. What is God's will for my life? And really and truly, it's hard to answer that for somebody. In fact, it's impossible for me to answer the question that they're asking. Let me put it to you this way. There is the general will. The general will of God is for every single one of us in this room. And once we can get the general will of God worked out in our life, then what happens is the distinct, or the what we would call the ministry or the calling or whatever you want to call it in your vernacular, that's when that takes place. But what we like to do is we like to jump right on into, well, I want to know what God wants me to do, or what my calling is, or what I don't know how to fit into the church, or I don't know how to. And we miss what God is trying to do. And that is first to build relationships so that you can handle the stress of everything else. There's no thing in the world right now, hardly, that people quit faster than ministry. Pastors are quitting at an enormous rate. They're burning out. They're quitting. They're going to get. You'll meet people where you work at the chicken plant, or you work at different places, and they'll tell you, oh, I used to be a minister, or I am a minister, or I'm a pastor, or I used to pastor. And you like, well, why are you not? Well, I'm telling you, I just pastoring will change your theology. You'll think you believe in God till you start pastoring sometimes. And then sometimes you thought you knew God until you start pastoring and realize you really do need to know Him. And so what I want to try to do, as we did last week, I covered the first five of the general parts of the will of God. And we won't go back through those, but I want to jump into tonight the second five of these general statements that are the will of God for your life. I'm going to still ask the question, can anybody stand and give me five scriptures and tell me verbatim where they come? And ready? All right. There you go. Which one of those is your favorite? Which one is? What? That's your favorite scripture. That's your life scripture. All right. And those are powerful points. And this is part of the challenge. This is part of the. I don't want you to become just bam, bam, bam. That's not what I'm after. But what I'm after is so that when the enemy attacks, when thoughts attack, when feelings attack, you've got to be able to say, that's not what the Word of God says. That it's your only weapon. Everything else is a defense mechanism. Helmet of salvation. You may stand there and take a beating all day and be able to tell the devil with all the dents in your helmet and say, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know. That's great. But it ain't helping you get the devil off it. He's still whacking you while you're telling him you're saved. But until you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and that's in Ephesians, and when you take that as your weapon, and you say, you know what, I'm fixing to attack the enemy, and I'm fixing to go at the enemy, and I'm fixing to conquer the enemy. That's the only weapon you got. Jesus used that weapon every single time. When he was at his weakest, he quoted Deuteronomy. That's what he went to this Word of God, and said, devil, it's written. Every time you attack me, I don't have physical strength. I don't have mental strength. I don't have any way to argue with you, but I do have the Word of God. And I'm going to keep reiterating this, because there's only a certain amount of help I can give you But when you're on your job or you're going through a crisis or the doctor gives you a bad report, you've got to know what the Word of God says. And I'm always going to be here if you want to call real quick and say, hey, give me a good scripture real quick. I'm here. But you don't want to always have to count on that. You want to be able to have in your mind, I know what the Word says. And even if you don't know exactly, you can turn close enough to where you can find it in your Bible. I know it's right there in Proverbs. I know where it is. So I'm gonna keep reiterating this because this is an important part. And I don't need you to stand or not. If you want to, I hope eventually somebody will just come to me and say, it's my night. I'm standing telling my five, my top five. And so hopefully you'll do that. Now, tonight, let's get through this other five of the, when we talk about the will of God in our life. Number six is simply this. It is His will for you to have salvation. Now, what do I mean when I say that? Somebody tell me what I'm talking about. When it's God's will that you have salvation. That you accept it. Accept what? He died on the cross, forgave you of your sins, and you're going to go to heaven. All right, is that? So all could come to know Him, okay? See, I want to expand one thing for you tonight and help you on this first part, is the word, when we say salvation, we have it in an English context, which means just basically to save something. But the Greek, where it was originally spoken, when Paul would speak of being saved or having salvation, it comes from the Greek word sozo, S-O-Z-O. And it goes a lot further. So when I say tonight, his goal for your life is salvation. Let me explain what I'm talking about. It means deliverance. It means salvation, which is what you normally cling and say, God wants to save my soul. I want to be saved from hell and I want to go to heaven. So it encompasses also salvation, but it also encompasses deliverance. It also encompasses the preservation in life. In other words, to preserve your life, to protect your life, to take care of you in life. The whole point of this is not just that your spirit would be saved. It's not just that your sins are saved, but it is a spirit, it is a soul, and it is a body experience that when He says, I want you saved, He means I want you from inside and out to be saved or delivered or protected or set free. So until you get that in your mind, what happens a lot of times is we'll say, well, I'm saved. Well, when you say that, what are you saying? Are you saying that you're going to go to heaven? Yeah. Are you saying that you're going to be able to have overcoming power? Well, I hope so. Well, then you're not truly understanding this. Let me explain it this way. When this takes place in the spirit and the soul and the body, we're talking about the heart, which is what we normally call it. But I'm also talking tonight about your head. I'm not just talking about your heart. I'm talking about your head. Salvation from your heart, which gets you into heaven. Salvation from your head, which helps you to live a victorious life. Let me put it to you in another way. Is your head saved? Is your head saved? Not saying, is your heart saved? Is your soul saved? Is your head saved? Well, how would I know, Brother Lott? Well, let me give you a scenario. Let me throw out something that maybe can challenge, question it. Do you still feel tormented by things? Is the torment gone from your life? Is nightmares gone from your life? Or do sometimes you still wake up in cold sweats and thinking, oh, man, I had a bad dream. Something just about got me and I feel like I'm losing, or I feel like something is going to get me, or I feel like I'm failing. Do I get agitated because I feel like I'm failing at life and life is not working right and I'm failing God and everything seems to be... Do you still struggle with fears? Do you still struggle with anger? Do you still struggle with bitterness, forgiveness, jealousy? Is the lust in your life gone? Because here's what happens to a lot of people. We get our heart saved, but our head doesn't get saved, and we live a tormented life in our lust, in our anger, in our strife, in our worry, in our stress, in all of these things. And when he says salvation, he's not just talking about simply saving your soul from hell. He's talking about being able to deliver you from all of the bondages that you have. He's talking about being able to separate you from the things that have kept you or bound you or has held you. Not just physically, but mentally. This is important. Because this doesn't happen, people do things to their body because of this. When I meet people who are cutters, when I meet people who are into, and don't get me wrong when I say this, I know there's some people that tattoo and do this because it's body art, and they'll tell you it's body art. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about where they do it because, you know what, I'm hurting, and this is my expression of my hurt. It's a different thing. Where they pierce themselves and put all types of things, and I mean, a lot of times you'll see stuff, and I'll think to myself, I'm sorry, that's just, that to me, that looks more painful than it does beautiful. It's and I know it's jewelry, it's art, but I didn't know some of the stuff that, you know, when they put the stuff in their eye, whatever it is, that's just like a hook. And I was thinking it's like some type of thing, you know, that you just stick in there and you take out. They said, no, when you got the thing in your nose or you got that's like a hook that's pushed in there and then it's hooked in. I hook stuff with fishing hooks. So I'm thinking to myself, look, I don't want to be hooked. So I'm not saying that in any disrespectful way. If that's beauty to you and that looks beautiful, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to criticize you for that. What I'm saying is there are people in the world that because of the hurt that they have on the inside, they are looking to express it through cutting and through different avenues and hurting their body and shaving their body and doing things. It's not an expression of beauty. It's an expression of, don't you see that I'm expressing out the hurt that is going in my life? And I'm trying to hopefully find an avenue. This is what happens when you get your soul saved, but your head is not saved. The head is still telling me I'm not right. The head is still tormented. You can be sitting in church and your soul is saved. You've went to an altar. You've asked God to forgive you. You've been baptized. You've done everything, but your head can be totally warped. Well, Brother Lott, I mean, you're telling my life. Well, go with me to Psalms 23. That's where you're at. If you want one of the quick five, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He will make me lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. Just give you one real quick. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. Now, where's that coming from? Anybody have wants in your life that don't get fulfilled? Well, then how can that scripture be true? The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not have any wants in my life. Didn't say need. It says wants. So how in the world can I live a life and have absolutely no wants in my life? Is that going to happen because the outside is fixed, or is that going to happen because this is fixed? The Apostle Paul said, I don't have any wants. Paul, you're in prison. I'm fine. I'm praying for the church daily that they'll be good. But don't worry about me. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. Don't worry about me. I'm already an overcomer. I'm already victorious. How can you say that, Paul? You just got beat up, thrown in jail, and it doesn't look like you're ever getting out. But you don't understand. I have no wants. I have learned that whatever state I'm in, whether with much or whether with little, I have learned to be content in whatever state of life that I'm in. Some of you, the problem is that you're never going to be happy until you get that. You're never going to be happy until they pay. You're never going to be happy until this is resolved. And guess what never gets healed? Your head. And it's confusing, isn't it? How do you tell Pastor Lott about that? Because if you come to Pastor Lott, Brother Lott, I need you to pray for me. Well, what's going on? I don't know. Well, I mean, you're still, your relationship with God, you're saved. Yeah, I ask God to forgive me. I'm saved. I'm good. Well, then what's wrong? I don't know. I don't have no desire to go to church. I don't have no... What's happening is verse 2. He maketh me... Look at the person beside you and says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the what? Next verse. He restores my head, if you want to change that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He takes me to green pastures. He makes me lie down because He is doing what to me? Restoring, teaching, or as Paul would say in the New Testament, you are changed by the transforming of your... And as I do that, I move from glory to glory to glory. It's not something happens in my life. It's something happens in my life. Nothing has changed on the outside, but I am going from glory to glory to glory. Why? Because I'm being restored mentally as much as I am spiritually. What we messed up in this generation is that we concentrate so much on people spiritually that when they aren't healed mentally, then all of a sudden we are confused. Let me give you an area. Let's say somebody comes to church. They get saved. We baptize them. They've given their life to God. They become a Sunday school teacher. They sing in the praise band. I get a phone call Wednesday. They shot themselves. Committed suicide. What happened? What happened? You got to answer the question because you got to go to the funeral. They were sick in their head. I know we don't want to say that at a funeral like that, but that's the whole problem. The only reason you're going to hurt yourself, cut yourself, shoot yourself, overdose yourself, is that you're sick in the... And I don't mean that disrespectful, like some throwing it off like some disrespectful phrase. I mean it that they, in their mind, something is constantly bombarding and warping. And until they are transformed in their thinking, they can say, but I'm saved, but I can't control my thoughts. I'm saved, but I can't control my emotions. I'm saved, but I can't. And what happens is the battle continues. And the enemy says, I'm going to win because I've got the reins on your mind. Now you can solve where they are in heaven or hell or all that kind of stuff. But I can't walk into somebody's mind. I'm not here to judge and say, well, they killed themselves, they didn't make it. But I can't stand up and say, well, they killed themselves, but they're in heaven. I can't say either one. I honestly, they've stepped over a threshold that goes beyond me and God. It goes into, you know what, I don't know what their mind was. I don't know where they were mentally. I don't know where they were emotionally. I don't know. So the fact is, I can't go into that. All I can tell you is that from my perspective, I can't do that. Why? Because God has not only saved me, but He's also healed me where? In my mind. Is this deep enough for you? This is real life. But God's will is that you would be saved. Inside, outside. Mentally, emotionally. So that none of those things attack you or have a grab on you.
Because whether that person's in heaven or hell or what have you, what is left as far as their testimony? Nothing. The only person that had won in that battle would be the enemy. I don't care how you preach it. I don't care how you say it. I don't care how I preach it. And I've had to preach several of them. I have to stand there and think, we didn't win this one. We left a mark on the fact that God can't heal and God can't deliver, and that even if you go to church, it won't fix your problem. Why? Because we concentrate so much on the person's salvation that we forget that there's another part of them here that has to be healed. You have to be transformed by the way you think, by your mind. And you may be in this room tonight and light bulb may be going off and you may say, that's me. I'm saved. But I've never allowed God to heal me mentally. I've never allowed God to heal me emotionally. It's always here I'm fighting. It's always here. I'll hear Pastor Lott preach and just mentally, I just, stuff goes off and it just, and I'll hear a song and it's just, I'll feel good for one moment, but then all of a sudden it comes crashing. That's not my salvation. That's not that I didn't do all the, ask God to forgive me and believe and all. I did all that, but the problem is there's another side of that that God says I have to invoke in your life. My will is not only that you be saved in your soul and your spirit, but your body and your mind and every part of your life. For me, I have to deal with these. Let me give you where I'm at right now. Is that okay? I don't know where you are right now. I'll tell you where I'm at right now. There are seasons of your life. One of the reasons we call this place All Seasons is because there are different seasons in your life. And as those seasons change, then you have to realize where you are mentally and emotionally and physically. Let's take me. I've just come through 5 years of building program. I've just come through almost 20 years of seemingly being in a building program for 20 years. From the time I moved here, we started selling chicken plates to build the first one. From the time we got that one situated, we were planning this one. And from the time we got through with that one, we started thinking about this one. And for almost 20 years, it sounds good and it sounds great. But at the same time, those were seasons in my life. But that season has changed. There are seasons where I aggressively attacked the Word of God. I was pulling the Word of God. I was looking at the Word of God. I was searching the Word of God. I was just like, man, give me one more scripture that I can hold up in your face, God, and I can say, we're going to do this. Why? Because the Word of God says it, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to seek. There's times in your life, anybody ever had aggressive moments where it just seems like you just took the Bible, put it in your car, and you were reading it and soaking it up, and it was just fun because, man, it was like, man, I'm catching this, and I got this. You was listening to it on television. I mean, when you came home, you didn't turn it to all the Walking Dead and all the other stuff. You turned it right to TBN or something else, and you were like, man, I want to hear Jensen preach one more time, or TD, or whoever else you want to hear, whoever you like. And you were soaking it up and everything they said. And you were talking to somebody at work. Man, you should have heard this, sir. You were ordering $30 CD packs that you didn't even think you needed. But man, I like that series. And you were doing all that because there was a season in your life you're attacking violently the Word of God. And those are awesome moments. Those are moments incredible things take place. But the season of making me lie down beside so that He can restore me, that doesn't seem natural to us. When we are in this mode, what do we think I need more of? I need more ministry. I mean, I just feel like I feel like I'm lost right now. I'm not doing anything. I feel like I'm just wasting. No. And don't get me wrong, if you ain't never been through a season of attack, you might want to start. But if you've accomplished some things from God, it doesn't matter if you've just raised a child. It doesn't matter if you've just overcome graduating from college or just whatever it is that's been that last, all I could do was grit my teeth and walk forward. But by the grace of God, I made it. Those are wonderful moments, but those are not the moments Psalms 23 is talking about. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down. Makes me. So that He can take the time to restore my soul. You want to know where Pastor Lot is right now? Pastor Lot does not want to read his Bible. Pastor Lot does not want to sing. Pastor Lot, and I know this is not so unspiritual, that it's just going to blow your mind. But now before you get worried, I can open the Bible at any moment. We can walk back here in a Bible study. I can open a Bible having read absolutely none of it and talk for 2 hours if you want me to. Why? Because my life has been, and God has said, Tim, I don't need that from you right now. You can stand up and not study and talk for 50 minutes. You studied enough, you know enough, that you can't get past point six right now. And you got four more to go. I'm not worried about that on you, Tim. But if you don't allow me to restore your soul, if you don't sit by still water, don't start a project. Don't trouble up the waters right now. Don't get into all. And I'm like, God, it's so still, and it's Tim, just go up on your couch. Take a nap. God, I need to be go to sleep. If I need you, I know where you are. But there is a season of, and it is hard to do that when you've pushed and you've seen God do good things, whether it's in your family or your job or what. And then all of a sudden it's like you plateau and God says, that's enough for now. Just sit in all this grass and just eat it up. Sit by the water. You don't even have to worry. It's just still water. Just go over and drink you some and go lay back down in the grass. God, there's another hill. We'll get to that hill. Don't worry. That hill's coming, but we're going to enjoy the grass and the water. I have prepared. We didn't happen up on this place. I prepared this place for you. And so if you say, well, Pastor Lot, where are you? My season of aggression, my season of attacking right now is at bay. And God says, now it is Psalms 23. It is time for you to lie down. How long will this take? Sometimes for people a day. Sometimes a week. It may take a year for me to mentally and emotionally get to the point where I'm ready to just go whoop the devil some more. Now, what does that mean? I'm not going to do my job? No, I'm still loving people, preaching sermons, just singing tonight. That's not what I don't quit. But what I'm telling you is that fire, that grit your teeth and go get them, I'm just enjoying it. I didn't care if you got saved tonight during that song or not. I didn't care if you liked it or not. I sung it because I liked it. And when I was looking around at the others that didn't know it and they were learning it and we were having fun, that's all I cared about. I wasn't trying to save the world. I wasn't trying to add 40 more chairs. I was just enjoying where I was at. You can't do that unless you allow God to heal you here. You can't enjoy where you're at. Your kids will never be that age again. While you're just stressed trying to get them clothed and hope they hurry up and grow up, they'll never be that size again. While you're pushing, God's saying, rest, enjoy it, relax. Allow me the time to restore you. Why? Because my goal is to save you. Not just get to heaven, Tim, but to save you. Inwardly, outwardly, so that you enjoy. You have not only life, but you might have an abundant life. Does that make sense? Okay. Number seven. Let me hurry along. God's will is for you then to have divine health. Look at the person beside you and say, God's will is for you to be healthy. Now, there's two ways to go about this. Jesus came healing the sick. So if you want to know what the Father is like, if you say, well, maybe God doesn't want me healed, well, then don't look at the life of Jesus, because Jesus went about doing good. He said, if you saw me, you saw the Father. And all he did was go around and disrupt funerals and disrupt people's sick parties and disrupt leprosy parties. And all he did was heal and do good wherever he went. So when you get on that mindset, well, maybe God wants me this way, then realize that is one of the most false statements you'll ever say. You hear people say something like this: well, God wants me to learn something through this. If that's the case, if that's where you're going to reside your brain, I got no problem with it. If you say, well, maybe God just wants me to deal with his sickness, then here's the key. Don't stop him then from accomplishing his work. If God wants you sick, if we're going to go down that path, if God wants you sick, then you throw away every bit of your medicine. Because why are you trying to fight the will of God? Why are you fighting God? God wants you sick, and here you are trying to get better. Just fighting Him. God's like, I wish they'd quit taking that aspirin. I keep giving them headaches, and they keep taking aspirin. I keep giving them headaches, and they keep taking aspirin. Well, that's your strategy, isn't it? God wants me sick, but I'm going to fight Him, praise God. And here's number two. Don't ever go to a doctor. Why would you go to a doctor? You'd have to walk in and say, look, doc, I know you're going to do the best you can, but really you can't do anything. God wants me sick. So no matter what you do, and no matter what surgery you do, I'll always be sick. That's your theology, isn't it? When somebody says, God must want me to go through it or be sick, then you're having to, if you're going to accept that, you've got to accept the full blow of it. You've got to quit fighting Him on trying to get better. No. God even put things inside of you that even when He doesn't do miraculous healings, He has healing properties inside of you. Do you know that when you start to get down or sick, that you release endorphins, you release all. If you just did a study on adrenaline, you ought to do a study on just adrenaline. When you get in pressure or stress, how your adrenaline kicks in and it causes your body to do what it could not normally do. Why? Because you were built to fight anything that came against your health. So what we do is we say, I need divine healing. I need miraculous healing in my life. And usually that's where we chase God. We chase God from, I need a miracle. I need God to even though I have drank two cases a day and dipped five cans a day and shot up and done everything I could, you know, I need God to do a miracle. That's one form of healing. And sometimes He does that. But there's a second kind of healing. It's the healing by which He talks about in His own Word. Go with me in your Bible. Pull up that next scripture. I believe it's Thessalonians, isn't it? Yeah. For every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and in honor. Now, don't get me wrong. There are times that I go to God and I say, God, I need you to heal me. But you know what makes it easier to ask that? Is when I know that there is nothing on my account that's caused it. That's like if you hooked me up right now and tested my blood pressure. And you would say, Brother Lott, we need to be praying for your blood pressure. Now it's 160 over 102. Brother Lott, you need to be in a hospital. No, I probably just don't need to be drinking three Cokes a day right now. That would probably help a lot. Because when I was singing tonight, all I was thinking was, don't have a heart attack, Tim. Don't have a heart attack. Why? Because sitting on my desk up there after us guys decided today Wendy's was where we needed to eat. Love Wendy's. They make very good hamburgers. And I tried one of those spicy chicken ranch with a bacon thing on it.
Man, that thing's good. And you get a big, and they ask you, do you want medium or large? Well, I want large. Why would I take a medium? Do I look like a medium person? I'm a large man. So I got me a large fries, and I got me ketchup, and I didn't just eat that and be sad. I went back up, because now they put the drink machine out on the counter. So that just so when you're leaving, you don't have to go away thirsty. And I refilled that big boy again with Coke. And I'm not saying I'm totally off the wagon, so I put a little bit of root beer and a little bit, because root beer is non-caffeine. So I put a little root beer and a little Coke, and I brought it up to the office. And I've been sipping on that all the way up till I sung. And I was thinking when I walked down, I'm going to die. It was probably not good at that time to raise my hands and get real spiritual. Say, God, right now I'm speaking against all the caffeine in my body. I'm speaking against all the damage I do. And I declare healing on my body right now. There are two types of healing. There are times when you need God to do something miraculous for you. And those are wonderful times. There are times when you, by no fault, the doctor has given you a diagnosis and you don't know where it come from. You don't know how it happened. And you're like, God, only you can take care of this. But then there's divine healing to where God gives you the wisdom. Go to the next scripture. I believe it's 1 Corinthians. What? Know you're not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I hope the Holy Ghost loves Coke. I hope he loved Baconators. Well, let's be honest. Do you think he does? No. So what am I doing? I'm being honest with you tonight. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Does that mean I can't ever have a Baconator? No. But it probably means I can't go by there every day. And it probably means I can't, you know, I'm not telling you don't ever eat another hamburger and don't ever, you know, just eat tofu the rest of your life. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that I have to walk in a balance of my life to realize I'm not doing something that's destroying something so that later I can go back to God and say, God, I'm sure it's sorry I tore that temple all up. But if you could do something real quick, I promise I won't do it as bad from now on. I'm not saying I won't do it at all because I'd be lying totally. So I'll just say I'm not going to do it as bad. It's hard to have miracles in that. So what needs to start is probably in your life divine miracles, which is simply where you go and you search your life and you say, what are the things in my life that don't belong? What are the things that are causing me not to be healthy? What are the things that's causing me not to think right, not to do right? If you get up in the morning and you can't function without 36 ounces of coffee, you might want to decide it's time to come loose from that. Why? Because I need to break free from that. I need divine healing before I ask God for more healing. Okay. Number 8. Well, I lost all my amens on that one, boy. It got quiet in a hurry. His will is for you to prosper. Notice how this thing goes. He wants me saved. He wants me healthy. And he wants me to prosper. People get all just bumfuzzled about that. They're like, that's all he'll preach about. God wants you rich. I'm not talking about rich. When I say prosper, I want you to go with me to Genesis 15. Genesis 15 and 1. Because they'll always use, you know, well, we have the blessings of who? The blessings of who? Abram. Abraham. I'm under no curses. I have the blessing. You hear all these TV preachers and others. I have the blessing of Abraham on me. Well, then let's learn the blessing of Abraham. Somebody comes to you one day and says, you got the blessings of Abraham? You darn right I got them. How do you know? Because here's how. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy and thy exceeding. When I talk about rich, filthy rich, I'm talking about your relationship with God.
When I talk about prospering, I'm talking about what the New Testament says. Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your... So what was he saying? He said, first you've got to be saved. And then once you're saved, then I pray that you will become healthy and that you will become prosperous. It's not complicated as long as you know what you're talking about. He's not talking about money. He says, Abraham, you can have all the money in the world, but somebody come along tonight and cut your throat. There's a lot of millionaires that are scared to death. They have gated fences. They have bodyguards walking around them all the time. They're afraid somebody's going to look at them wrong. Why? Because they live in constant fear. Why? Because their shield is simply some other person. Their shield is something that can't protect them. Their shield is something that they know is faulty. But Abraham says, you know what my strength is? You know what my riches are? You know what causes me to succeed and win battles and overcome? It's the fact that the Lord God Almighty is my friend, and He is my shield. He protects me from everything that comes against me, and He is my great reward. That's it. Therefore, I can go to Deuteronomy 28, beginning at verse 1. Let's read a little bit. You get this in your mind. Now let's go to Deuteronomy. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on a high above all the nations of the earth. Sounds good, doesn't it? Keep going. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of the body, and blessed the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of the cattle, and the increase of the kin, and the flocks of the sheep. Blessed shall you be in the basket and in the store. Blessed shall I be when thou comest in, and blessed will you be when you're going out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee. Boy, I like blessings. But what are they all wrapped up in? Relationship with God. If you'll put me first, then I will prosper you. Your fruit trees will do better. Your car will run better. Not because you got a blessing, but because you got me. And if you got me, then the blessing comes automatically. There's nothing, no one greater than me. Make me the center of your life so that you are blessed. Number 9, His will then, after this, think about, let's just see what we would come up with. God has saved me. Salvation, I have it from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. Now, I've got it in my mind, I've got it in my body. Second thing that happens to me is what? Because I know you've been listening tonight. My health. My health is getting better. So I'm healthy. I feel good. I don't have all the anxiety and the fear and the... Number 3. I'm prospering. Man, God's being good to me. Now, if these things were happening in your life, what would you do? What would be the next thing you did? All right, you would thank the Lord. You would rejoice. But that's part of the relationship. You're already in that. You would tell everybody. It becomes natural. Let me tell you what's not natural is when you don't have that and some preacher stands up and says, now you need to be telling people they need to be in church next week. Why? I don't even want to be in church next week. Why am I going to tell them to come to church? See, it's hard to attach number 9, which is God's will is for you to be in relationships. The reason we struggle with relationships is because we're not saved. We still get offended. We still get our feelings hurt. We're still mad because the last person hurt us. And now I don't trust nobody no more. And you want me to like them, and I don't trust them no more. So now I'm carrying all this. I'm not healed. mentally, emotionally. My health is not good because of my anxiety and all this. I don't sleep good. I'm going through all types of problems. I'm not healthy. And now all of a sudden, I don't feel prosperous. It don't seem like nothing I touch ever works. And nothing I ever do ever seems to turn out right. Everything seems to turn out wrong. And then some preacher's going to look at you on Sunday morning and say, "Now you go love somebody this week. Pour out the love of Jesus on them." Oh, I know. I'd like to pour some stuff on them. And I know exactly who and I know exactly what I want to pour. See, until you get these first three, but when you do, automatically, the next thing is easy. I want to tell somebody. That's number four. God's will is that you would be in relationships. In fact, Jesus even tested it. Jesus would heal people, and because of His relationship and His healing and what He gave them and how He touched their lives, He would look at them and say what? Don't go tell nobody. I'm giving you an order. Don't tell nobody what I just did. And the Bible says they would spread it everywhere. Why? Because it's natural when God has done the first three, not counting the first five, when He's done these three, it becomes natural in your life to tell somebody the good things that God has done for you. So, I'm not telling you tonight, look, go tell people about Jesus, because you may not be right to tell people about Jesus. You may need to get the things in your life situated before you tell people about Jesus. I teach this, and it was even brought out at East Rankin graduation. It's kind of tickled me that they were talking about that so many people call themselves Christians now, and even the preacher that was preaching that said, we say that way too much. And I was thinking, that's what I tell people. In fact, I teach people, don't go around telling people you're a Christian. Why? Because that denotes that you are, have already passed these first three, and you're at level four. Man, I got it made. I'm healthy. I'm healed. I'm delivered. And I want to talk to you about Jesus because I know Him really well. It's better to start out building that relationship. If somebody asked you, are you saved? What would you tell them? Yes, I know I'm saved. Well, are you a Christian? I hope that I act like one. I hope that I demonstrate before you His life. I hope that I can be like Him. But I can't tell you I'm a Christian. I can only tell you that I'm saved, that I know Him, that I'm growing every day. I hope I reach a point one day in my life where somebody will look at me and say, if I've ever met a Christian, you're it. That's my goal. That I can walk in a room and somebody will say, whew, somebody turned the air conditioner on in this place? Blondie sitting over and saying, yeah, he did. Totally non-spiritual over, just totally off the way. She done left the reservation. We call them divine appointments. We call them glorious connections. But God sends people into your life. God sends people into your life. Acts 17 and 26 shares some of that with us. I want you to notice this. Sometimes we run by scriptures and we don't really grab them because we looking at the big stuff, and we miss some real good theology. Let me give you some. And hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. When God looks at the world, how many different kinds of people are there in the world to God? They all have the same what? They all have the same blood. When God looks at the world, He said, you know, I have made of one blood all the nations that there are, of men that dwell on all the face of the earth. And I have determined the what? The times of their living and the bounds of their I determine where they live, how long they live. You think you chose. You think you pick. But can I tell you something? God never lost you on the map. God set your boundaries before you were born. He knew that you would or would not leave Forest, Mississippi. And He didn't do it out of meanness. He did it because to accomplish my purpose, I've got certain people put here and certain people put here and certain people over here. And I even moved some from over there because they needed to be over here. And I took some from over here and moved them over there because they needed to be over there. And you thought you were doing all of that yourself. And God said, let me give you a little insight. I have made of all nations, made of one blood. I did that. And not only that, I have determined the times when they're going to live. And I also determine where they're going to live. I am God. So if God puts you in this room at this time, at this place, you might want to look around because He didn't do it by accident. You're not here by accident. You're not here by some chance. You didn't just fall off a tree and just happen to come across. You were put here by God Himself. He didn't lose you. Never lost you off the map. You never were a blip on the screen. Go with me in your Bibles then to Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. This scripture makes more sense then. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, right? That's our goal. If I've got this in me, then my goal is to do good works, to love people, to care for people. Why? How am I going to do this? Well, verse 25 tells us how we do this. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. You hear this scripture pulled out all the time. And it kind of ticks me off. Certain things do. Because they leave out the important scripture. If you leave out verse 24, then verse 25, you can take it out of context. You can just tell people who are miserable they need to go to church. Look, I know you're miserable. I know you don't like the preacher. I know it's boring. And I know you hate the singing. I know you don't like it. I know you're not happy. And mentally, you're not right. But you know what? You need to go to church anyway. Because the Bible says you're supposed to go to church. Isn't that how you were taught? I meet people every Sunday and I'll say, man, it's great to have. Well, you know, you're supposed to be in church. Well, praise God. I know you fussed and cussed all the way here, but praise God, you're supposed to be here, so you made it. No. You got to get the first three right so that number four becomes natural. Go back to verse 24. Before we jump on this real powerful scripture, verse 25, that everybody can quote. Learn to quote this one. Let us consider one another to provoke unto and to... The reason I go to church every single Sunday is because I am called to do that and to be that. I am called Monday through Saturday to love, to encourage, to provoke others to do good. And the only way I can accomplish it, the only way I can accomplish it is by doing what? Verse 25, by assembling myself together with others like me. As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another as to much the more as you see the day approaching. Guys, when we meet on that men's Bible study on Tuesday morning, that's the first thing usually we're talking about. Whew, man, I tell you, this world ain't got much longer. It's amazing how it doesn't matter how many times we meet. That's usually how it always begins before we ever start talking. Why? Because we're all living to get to the end, and we're all brothers in the same fight. And the first thing we have to do is look at each other and think, I'm not in this fight alone. While you're out there loving on your group, I'm out there loving on my group, and we're out there. That's what church is about. Look around and realize you're not the only person in the world trying to live a good life. And trying to love others. And trying to be what... You're part of a big body. And when you get that right, then verse 25 makes sense. My job is to love, to exhort, to encourage. My job... And to do that, I have to assemble myself with others. I can't put myself in a corner. I have to have relationships. Look at the person beside you and say, I need you. Go ahead and tell them. Say, I need you. You want to talk about a discouraged person? If there had only been one person to show up here tonight and they'd been sitting right there by themselves and I'd have been preaching to them, they would have thought, what's wrong with me? Ain't that the truth? If you'd have said it here by yourself, you'd have thought, what's happening that I don't know about? But the fact that all of you are in here, it reminds you that we're part of a bigger people all over the nation are meeting on Wednesday nights. Somebody's preaching probably a lot better than me. And they're sharing the Word of God and they're talking and they're singing and they're telling each other, guys, we're in this fight. We're going to finish this thing one day. We're going home together. This thing's going to end good. Don't give up today. Keep loving. Keep forgiving. Keep going. Keep doing. Encourage each other. Number 10. When you get all of this together, when you walk out of church and you've got all the healthy part and you've got the relationship part, what do you think should be natural then? What would be number 10? What's God's will? Take a guess. You're walking out, you've got friends, you're laughing, you hug necks, you walked outside, you're headed to your car. What are you thinking about life? Carry out God's will? Why you got joy? So number 10 becomes this. God's will is for you to have great expectations. When it's all said and done, when you finally have run the gamut of God's will, the whole point is that you should live your life with great expectations. Because all of those things I've mentioned, God has and is taking care of. And you've got friends. You're not alone in this world. Now I go back to my car. Sometimes I just love to sit outside and just sit in the couch or the chair out there and just watch people shaking hands and talking in the foyer. And there's times I go up to my office and I'm tired and I'll just sit up there, but I can still hear the noise down below and I can hear the rumbling and the talking, and I'm like, that's so cool. Why? Because there's an expectation of what your life and others is going to be. Let me give you one scripture and I'll let you go. Go with me to Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in Him. Right? Did I misquote that scripture? Oh, let me get that down. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works. What is the power that works in us? Give me another word for faith. I just gave it to you a few minutes ago. Anybody write down what number 10 was? That's faith. That's what's working inside of you. If you got it right when you walk out this door tonight, what should be, if you let God to heal you and from the inside and out and deliver you, what He wants when you walk to their car tonight is for you to smile and say, you know what? I don't care what comes against me. I don't care what happens. I don't care if I lose my job or you know what? God will find me another one. You know what? If something bad happens, you know what? God will take care of that. I live my life with great expectations. I live my life. Wouldn't it be bad if I got up here on Sundays and I came up to the pulpit and said, guys, y'all just pray for me today. It's been a long week. The devil just been after me. I'm telling you, he's been wearing me out. Y'all just hold me up. Because I just don't know if I'm going to make it. What do you expect from Pastor Lott? Do you think I have expectations? Do you think I have a feeling that things are just going to be all right? Absolutely. And it doesn't come because I'm just trying to make it up and just trying to pretend. It comes because of all the things I've mentioned. I know the will of God for my life, and I know the will of God for your life. And I know that God doesn't make mistakes, and He doesn't geographically lose you. And I know God hasn't forgotten you, and God's got you predetermined. And as long as you're breathing today, that means He had a plan for today. And we need to get that plan done, and we need to get it accomplished, and we need to make the most of what we got. So why are we sitting here with no expectations? Who knows what God's going to do through you? Who knows what He's going to do tomorrow? Who knows who He's going to put in front of you? All you got to do is make sure that you're healed and saved and healthy. Make sure that you know that you're prospering, that all things are working to good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. That you know I'm in good relationships. That even if you bump into somebody mean and they talk bad about you, you can just smile and say, well, at least I got some friends at church. Oh, if I can just make it to church, I got somebody that loves me. And then I'm able to live my life with expectations. Guys, that's my prayer for you. And I hope you'll take time to wrestle over these scriptures. Maybe buy the CDs, not because I need them, because I don't get nothing from them. Just buy the CDs so you can play them two or three times and say, you know what, that's real. That's reality. I've got to get that in my spirit. Will you bow your heads? Father, Lord, tonight, thank you. It's a strange feeling that I have right now with the presence of God. It's not an altar call. It's not, but I feel like right now, God, if I could describe what I feel, it's like light bulbs going off throughout this whole room. And there's people that the enemy has tormented. There's people that the enemy has kept unhealthy. There's people who He has told them, you're never going to be healthy. You're never going to be right. You're always going to have problems emotionally. And otherwise, you're never going to be prosperous. You're never going to have good relationships. You're never going to fit into this place. God, tonight, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that bondage is broke. Tonight, a light bulb went off and they realized, I am more than a conqueror through Him. I was not made to be the tail, but the head. I was made to live in blessings because He is my blessing. And Father, I thank You for it. I praise You for it. And I give You all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Hey, go give the devil fits.